Well, the numbers are starting to come in, and they're not particularly good. The COVID-19 crisis has caused a significant downturn in church giving. That much was expected, but now, what can we do about it? With millions of Americans out of work and services canceled for weeks, churches are indeed struggling. Rob West speaks with Brian Cluth of the National Association of Evangelicals about a battle plan for the coming financial challenges. Then it's your calls at 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. The COVID-19 impact on church giving, that's next right here on MoneyWise Live. And Rob, Pastor Brian Cluth is a noted speaker and author on church giving and currently serves as director of the NAE's multi-year initiative to address the economic needs of pastors.
Which is always a challenge, Steve, but never greater than right now with the coronavirus pandemic. Brian is a great friend, and Brian, a real treat to have you with us today.
Hey, great to be with you and your listeners, and we really want to share some things with them that are insightful and helpful and challenging, but we can be encouraged to do the right thing in these times.
Well, we're looking forward to that. Before we get into your battle plan for meeting this giving crisis, give us the numbers, Brian, that you and others have been able to compile thus far.
Yeah, we were able to survey over 1,000 churches in 50 states, and what we discovered is 65% of churches have seen giving decline since the COVID-19 shutdowns. That's a pretty serious drop. Never in our lifetime has it been that serious. The closest that, we had a big drop in the past about 10 years ago with the recession, 38% of churches saw giving go down.
Wow.
But in this case, it was 65%. So much, much worse, much deeper, much broader. And the other thing we pulled up in our stats is 30% of the people participating in the research, their household income has gone down. So either someone in their family lost a job, furloughed, loss of income, maybe their business sales went down. So we saw that it's affecting quite a few people at this point. I do think it's going to affect more people in the future, more families. The good news we saw is that because of online broadcasting of services and music and podcasts and interviews and things that churches are doing in the online space, 48% of churches have seen the people they're reaching every week go 2 to 5 times or more greater than they ever reached in a worship service.
Wow.
And so it's pretty amazing that God is using this difficult time to really let his word go out in ways that have been unprecedented in our lifetime. Millions and millions, hundreds of millions, billions are hearing God's word taught online, and we're excited for that.
Oh, boy, that is so exciting to hear God reaching more people through the midst of this uncertainty and the pandemic. Obviously, as it relates to church giving, Brian, part of this is the families that are struggling because of a loss of jobs. Perhaps they've been furloughed, hours have been cut. That's a big piece of it whenever there's a recession. But you add to it the fact that churches are not able to gather people physically. Do you think that's having an impact? And is it that some churches aren't equipped to take gifts electronically, or how does that make this more challenging?
Yeah, that's been one of the factors in all of this. So if you were, let's say, serving an older congregation and you didn't have technology in place for digital giving, online giving, EFT giving, and suddenly your people aren't in the building and there's no plate to pass or no people to pass the plate to, you suddenly were in a difficult situation. So some churches are kind of catching up as their people are saying, okay, I want to give to my church. And so they're mailing in checks. Sometimes they're dropping them off. But more and more churches have moved online. And so that's a good thing for the future that more churches are doing online giving. And so, but a lot of people had to kind of ramp up very, very quickly with online giving technology and certainly with online services, whether it's Facebook Live or recordings that get played later, all kinds of things. I'm part of a church of about 400. We're mainly a younger church, a lot of millennials. And we're reaching like 3 or 4 more times people online than we would, get the 300 or 400 in our service. So churches have really had to step up. And a lot of churches have done an amazing job, really, embracing this online activity, both in their services, but also in their giving platforms. So that's been a positive thing.
Absolutely. It's happened in my house, not only services, but my kids meeting with small groups online, and we're meeting with our small group. It's amazing what God is doing. Well, a lot more on this right around the corner, Steve.
That's right. Brian Kluth with us today, helping us understand how the corona crisis is impacting the local church. That's next right here on MoneyWise Live.
Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him." Michael Blue's new book, Financial Hope, will help you find that hope and peace. This hands-on study will show you the four H's of financial wisdom to help you apply the power of God's word to your finances. Right now, request your copy of Financial Hope when you support MoneyWise Live with a gift of $25 or more at moneywiselive.org.
Our friends at Sound Mind Investing have been helping Christians reach their financial goals since 1990 with step-by-step guidance for investors just getting started, making choices in a 401k, or getting ready for retirement, all grounded in God's Word. The SMI slogan is Financial Wisdom for Living Well. More information is available online at soundmindinvesting.org. The SMI website also includes articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
Some say that the world is spinning out of control. Maybe you feel like your own little world is doing the same, and that no one cares about what happens to you. But when you read the Bible, you'll discover that God knows exactly what's going on globally and in your life. In Matthew 10:28 through 30, we're told, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." To me, that sounds like a God who knows exactly what's going on in the world and my life. Am I concerned about what's happening in the world? Of course. But worry? Well, I'm learning to put my trust in the God that made the universe.
An encouraging word from this station and Moody Radio.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
When it comes to giving and generosity in the local church, no one knows more about this subject than today's guest, Brian Kluth. He works with the National Association of Evangelicals. He travels around the globe. Rather, he used to travel around the globe, teaching God's people all about this subject. And I understand your travel has been curtailed a bit in the last few months, right, Brian?
Yeah, it sure has. We were going to be gone 3 out of 4 months, and we are home 4 out of 4 months.
Wow.
Sheltering in place.
God has a plan. God has a plan.
Yes, he does. Well, Brian, in just a moment, we'll talk about a 10-step battle plan that you've developed for pastors and church leaders to meet this financial crisis. It's practical. I know it'll be helpful. But just before we get to that, you know, many folks may be out there saying, "I plan to give to my church, but I'm going to wait until I get back." The challenge is the church needs those resources now to pay the overhead and pay the staff. And, you know, that's not a good plan, is it?
Yeah, you want to be faithful in your giving to the Lord as you have it, release it, trust God for your needs, and honor the Lord with what he's given you when he gives it to you. That's always a good plan.
Brian, what about personal giving? As you've done studies since COVID-19, the pandemic, what are you seeing in terms of those numbers?
Yeah, what we're seeing is some people that have surplus are stepping up and being more helpful to their church and the ministries they care about. So that's really a good thing. Obviously, some people have had to slow down their giving or curtail it. The other thing that's interesting in our research is 30% reported that they needed to help family and friends during this time.
Yes.
So like in my family, I have 3 adult children. They all lost their jobs. So we've as a family, have had to step up and help our family. But also in our church, we've come alongside some families that we know are hurting and struggling. We've gotten them gift cards. We've given them groceries. We've done some things for people that we know needed it. So a lot of people are reporting kind of more personal activity and generosity, which is always a good thing. And when you give to the needy, the Bible says in Proverbs, when you give to the needy, you lend to the Lord and he will repay. So when you give to the needy, you're not even giving, you're lending to God, and God will somehow, some way, replace what you've given.
Such a great word for us, Brian, to consider during this time and our opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus with our giving. All right, let's turn and talk about the 10-step battle plan you've developed for pastors and church leaders to meet this financial crisis. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, let's just kind of go through this together. There's a handout that everybody can get on your website, so that'll be really helpful to people to access that. But first is American Bible Society and the National Association of Evangelicals put together some really valuable resources on COVID-19 and ministering in these times. So we list that link on the handout. But the second thing is reopen under government guidelines.
Yes.
And that means social distancing rules that are going to be in place in your state or your county, your city. But I also believe you need to, as you reopen, you need to stay online. So you need to do on-site services and online, because a lot of people still are not going to be comfortable or it's not going to be wise for them to come to a church service. So churches are going to continue to need to do both things. And also encourage online giving, also be reaching out to your people by phone, by email. You know, do not lose touch with your people. Stay in contact with them. So that's pretty important.
Absolutely. I also think it's really critical. So many churches are really serving and meeting needs in their local community, and you want to make sure that your church knows what you're doing so you can connect the vision and the activity of the church in Jesus' name to the giving that's taking place that's allowing the church to do that, right?
Yeah, exactly. You need to, and we're going to get into that. That's one of the points here is you need to either start or expand a benevolence program. There's going to be people in your church that are going to be hurting financially, needing assistance. And so we give you some links and some resources to do that. So you need to take care of your church families, but you also need to proactively look at what are you going to do to serve your community? These are critical times. People are going to be out of work. They are going to have practical needs, especially as we get past the government subsidies this summer. A lot of people are going to be really hurting, and I think more businesses are going to be struggling. Some will be closing. So those are just really important things to kind of get a handle on and get ahead of the curve.
Yes.
And prepare for that.
Now, we've said take advantage of church resources, and you can find those at moneywise.org. Reopen under government guidelines, perhaps start or expand a benevolence program. What else in your 10-step battle plan?
Yeah, another thing you want to do is whenever you're receiving an offering or encouraging an offering, you want to use Scripture.
Yeah.
God's word is rich with scriptures on generosity and finances, and we've developed a handout with 100 free verses that encourage generosity and faith in God when it comes to finances. So what you want to do is you want to say the verse and pray the verse. And the list of 100 verses, you have 2 years of scripture verses to really encourage people from God's word to trust him and also to be open-handed in these times and not fearful or tight-fisted.
Yes.
Another thing that churches are going to have to do by this summer when they're back in session is they're going to have to totally reassess their church budget, their payroll, their giving, their facilities, their programs. Everything is going to have to be looked at based on new trend lines, because there are trend lines that are going to be happening, and churches need to properly adjust as they go into the fall. So that's pretty important.
Yeah, perhaps it's a time to reevaluate as well. We heard from somebody recently on the broadcast that said just before COVID, we had voted to buy a new church van, and we haven't done it. Should we reevaluate? This is a time to be looking at all special expenditures, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. Everything has to be reevaluated in the light of the new realities that people where churches are going to be at this summer.
Very good. What about a few more, Brian?
Yeah, after the recession in 2008, we found 3,000 churches distributed the 30 or 40 day devotional I had, and it just gets people in God's word, gets people, families reading the word every day. And so using a generosity or financial devotional is very, very helpful, especially this fall. We're also encouraging churches to look at doing a Saturday financial event. Mm. I'm personally going to be helping churches across America and communities putting on a financial shalom day. But it's just the idea of pulling people together from multiple churches and really helping them get a handle on what's going on financially, but doing it from a biblical perspective.
I love it.
Number eight is minister to the financially hurting and the financially healthy. Every church has people with surplus, people that are strong financially, some struggling, some sinking. And churches need to realize you need to put all those people together.
Yes.
And just because some people are hurting doesn't mean everybody's hurting. And those who are not hurting need to have a plan to help those who are hurting.
Yes.
So churches need to think through the full spectrum of the people they have in their congregation.
Absolutely. And I know you have a Bless Your Pastor national movement that folks could hook into right now. And pastors need that more than ever, don't they?
Yeah, they will. We have a list of 50 ways to bless your pastor. They're all and they have nothing to do with the budget. And this year, every church that participates in the Bless Your Pastor movement, we will send their pastor a $250 gift card just because they participated. So we hope many churches will go to blessyourpastor.org, get the free resources, and participate.
Very good. And Brian, we're about out of time here today. Where can folks download this resource with the 10-step battle plan and access all the wonderful tools you mentioned, the 100 verses, the Bless Your Pastor movement? Where can they go?
Yeah, they can go to stateoftheplate.info. Stateoftheplate.info will have all that material available.
Great. Brian, we covered a lot of ground today. So thankful for you. We'll have you back real soon to update us, okay?
Hey, thanks. God's blessings on you and your listeners.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. That's Brian Cluth from the National Association of Evangelicals. And always great to have Brian with us. He provides lots of great biblical, practical information about giving and generosity. And we'll be right back after this.
Attention, MoneyWise Live listeners. If you don't like free stuff, please change the station now. Still with us? Great. You can get free access today to the new MoneyWise e-magazine, packed with valuable expert articles, practical tips, and biblical wisdom. You'll even find exclusive podcast episodes you won't hear anywhere else. Your MoneyWise e-magazine subscription is waiting for you at moneywiselive.org/signup.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
We're freed from legalistic righteousness. And now we're talking about the Spirit working through us and how He's full enough in us to lead us. So it's driven by relationship, not regulations. Number two is this. It never contradicts Scripture. Never, not ever. The Holy Spirit's promptings will never contradict Scripture. That's why it is absolutely crucial. Let me tell you, this is where we just get dry as a bone if we're really a people who want to really accrue a lot of knowledge about scriptural things, do a whole lot of Bible study, but we don't want to rock and roll in the walk of faith with God and live the great adventure. You talk about a way to get dry. Then there's the other extreme where everything is about the Holy Spirit, but we don't even know the Word. That's why there are two hands and two weapons. A sword of the Spirit and a shield of faith, because it's about the Word and about a faith walk. But one without the other does not work. It's got to be both of them. And His Holy Spirit will never lead us contrary to Scripture, not ever. There is a general will for all of us, and then there's a specific will for each of us. God's specific will for your life will never contradict His general will in Scripture. In other words, no, He's not leading someone to a relational evangelism by marrying a lost person. No.
You've been listening to Beth Moore with today's quick word. Maybe you're like me, always on the go. The free Living Proof app is a perfect tool to help you stay connected, encouraged, and in His Word with Beth. Download the free app today. Just search for Beth Moore in the App Store.
Many people are experiencing financial challenges, such as credit card debt, downsizing, dead-end jobs, and depleted savings. In fact, more than half of all divorces are the result of financial pressures at home. But there's hope. In Your Money Counts, biblical financial expert Howard Dayton shows that the Bible is a veritable blueprint for managing your finances, and you'll discover the profound impact it has on your relationship with God. Your Money Counts is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Great to have you with us today. It's MoneyWise Live with Rob West. I'm Steve Moore, and we're going to switch gears a little bit now from Brian Kluth to anything that you want to talk about, anything financial. It could be about giving. It might be about credit or saving or investing or your faith, eternity. What does all that have to do with money and finances? Well, quite a bit, as it turns out. And if we can help you today, we'd love to do that. 800-525-7000. Toll free, 800-525-7000. Rob, what about, what do you say we do something a little different? Generally, we take our emails toward the end of the program, but then sometimes we miss them for a few days or weeks, as the case may be. You want to do a couple today right here at the top?
That sounds great.
We'll try, or at least one? Okay, all right. Let's go, let's say hi to Mark. Actually, if he's listening, we'll say hi to him. His email came in recently, and he says, hey, guys, my wife recently passed away. I'm looking for a financial advisor who can give me honest advice and whose priority is helping me as opposed to pushing his or her product. I simply want guidance on the best way to achieve the most benefit in my current situation. Do you have any advice for me?
Yeah, I sure do. And Mark, let me just first say I'm so sorry to hear about your wife's passing. You know, finding a financial advisor that you align with very well, both in terms of experience and competency that matches your needs, as well as really somebody who, I would add, shares your values, really understands God's word as it relates to money and money management, and can bring to bear advice that's consistent with biblical truth and the heart of God in the context of competent financial advice is really key. But you're raising another point around products. And one of the good news that's a benefit to consumers is this transition from what I'll call the product era to the advice era. It doesn't mean there aren't products. There are still very necessary products and solutions that are used every day very appropriately in the context of financial advice. But there's been a move in the last decade or so toward an advice model where financial professionals lead with advice, bringing true wisdom to the table around all of your financial affairs. And then the products or solutions or strategies are used to support that. But in the event that an advisor is leading with a product, you should buy this product, or it starts off in the engagement. And again, around financial planning and investments. I'm not talking about where you have a single need around insurance or something like that. But if it's starting out around a product, I think that is the wrong approach. I think it really should be about getting to know you and asking a lot of questions and really looking at your overall financial plan and figuring out where your investments fit. And then if there's a product that's necessary, again, it's not sold necessarily. It's just a part of the overall strategy that's utilized. And at that point, it may be perfectly appropriate. So in the event that's really what the advisor is leading with in the planning and the investment space, I would be a little cautious there and really try to find somebody who's going to lead with an advice model, again, where the products are a support.
I really like that advice, Rob. Thanks very much. Now, we do have an email from Aaron. However, we also have a caller who's been holding all the way from Honolulu. So let's say hi to Joe next. And what's on your mind today, Joe?
Hello, gentlemen. I want to thank you for taking my call, and I really appreciate your show, and you have helped me out more than you can imagine. The first part of my question is for the catch-up contributions for a 401k. I understand the limit is $26,000 in 2020. And my question is, if I did not contribute, I contributed about $13,000 over the year, can I do my catch-up contribution to the remainder of that, or is it limited to $6,500?
Yeah. So are you talking about the timing of the contribution or the amount? Or are you talking about, because catch up in the context of the 401k usually has to do with when you reach age 50 or older. Is that what you're referring to specifically? Joe, I think we may have lost you.
Oh, did we lose
Joe? Let me just go ahead and weigh in on that. Here's the thing. You know, in 2020, if you're 50 or older, you'll be able to have $6,500 in a catch-up provision that's going to allow you to put in a bit more. I think we may have you back. Are you there, Joe?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, very good. And was it related to the timing on that or the amount or something different?
The amount, because I will, this year I'll probably contribute about $13,000. So if I have an extra $13,000 left, can I make that in a one-time catch-up? Or everything I'm reading just says $6,500, I guess, which means you're, you know, that's what takes it up to $26,000.
That's correct. Yes, $6,500 for workplace plans like a 401k, up from $6,000. And the amount you can contribute to an individual retirement account for 2020 stays the same, $6,000 with a $1,000 catch-up if you're over age 50.
Okay, great. That makes a lot of sense. I had a second part to the question. Can I ask that?
Sure. Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Okay, I'll be coming up on my ESOP diversification period here at the end of next year. So my question relates to the catch-up contribution. Should I diversify just enough shares to equal the amount I want to take up to $26,000, my company stock?
Okay. I think I heard the question. You broke up there a little bit, but you do have a diversification that has to occur within 90 days after the last day of the annual election period for these employee benefit plans that give you ownership in the company. And, you know, if you have the ability to diversify inside that plan, you know, that's a great option. So you're not so highly concentrated. You just need to make sure that it falls within that window. So, hey, appreciate you calling today. Appreciate your kind comments, and we encourage you to call back anytime.
Yeah, thank you very much, Joe. We do appreciate that. And if you have a comment or a question for Rob West today, now's a good time to call. We do have a few open lines left, so I'm pretty sure we can get to you this afternoon, 800-525-7000. If you haven't visited our website, you might want to check it out. You'll find us at moneywiselive.org. Lots of good up-to-date information there, and we'll be right back.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't have had the procedure I needed without CHM's help sharing the bills. That letter from a member displays Christian Healthcare Ministry's purpose to glorify God and serve His people. CHM is the original non-insurance voluntary health cost-sharing ministry, enabling its members to share the cost of each other's medical bills. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
The Moody Bible Institute verse of the week during this Memorial Week is found in John 15:12-14. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. That's John 15:12-14, the Moody Bible Institute verse of the week.
Studying the Messianic prophecies in the Old Testament is a great way to study the Scriptures, but it can be confusing. The biblical authors came from different cultures at a different time, and they used different styles. I'm Michael Radelnik. I teamed up with my good friend Ed Bloom to bring you the Moody Handbook of Messianic Prophecy. It covers and explains in context virtually every Messianic prediction, and it all points to the Promised One, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. Get your copy at moodypublishers.com.
Many people adopt an attitude toward marriage and finances that it'll all work out somehow. but sadly, it often doesn't. Financial woes can devastate a marriage, but there is a better way. God's Way. Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton will help you discover God's approach to growing your finances, strengthening your relationship with your mate, and cultivating godly joy. Money and Marriage God's Way is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says there will be a Phase 4 coronavirus bill. The Kentucky Republican makes it clear any bill will be carefully crafted. Not what he calls a $3 trillion left-wing wish list, referring to a House bill passed earlier this month. Leaders in Kansas City, St. Louis, and the state of Kansas urging people who partied close together at Lake of the Ozarks over Memorial Day weekend to self-quarantine for 2 weeks. Big crowds reported at swimming pools, bars, and restaurants at the popular Central Missouri Lake. Stocks surging on Wall Street, driving the S&P 500 and Dow to their highest levels in nearly 3 months. The Dow today gaining 529 points. The NASDAQ was up 15, and the S&P 500 ahead 36. This is SRN News.
You're listening to Money Wise Live, God's Wisdom for Your Finances. Your host is Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. And let's continue on with our calls. Chattanooga, Tennessee. Hi, Diane. How are you today, and how
Hello.
Can we help you? Hi.
Well, I am blessed and so glad to be talking with you.
Thank you.
I am in my late 70s and would often like to donate online, but I have serious misgivings about security breaches and offering any of my financial data online. Is it okay for us to do so, and how can we maximize the security of our donations so that our banking account is not compromised?
Yeah, yeah. It's a great question, Diane. Let me just ask you a question first, though. Do you use credit cards as a part of your monthly rhythm for
Yes.
paying for bills?
Yes, I do.
You do. Okay. And what option is given to you by your church? Is it a ACH-type transaction where you'd actually put in your routing number and your bank account information, or do you have the ability to pay by credit card as well, or what options are there?
Do you know, I have always done it by check.
Okay,
and I am sorry, I don't have the information you asked
yeah.
for.
No problem. That's fine. Well, you know, one of the ways you can protect against it is by using a credit card if that option is available. Again, if this is you making the payment and then you're paying it off, it's a budgeted expense. I believe that's an appropriate use of credit cards if you can, you know, manage that on a monthly basis. The upside is you're putting in your information electronically. Yes, you're doing business online. And so we'll talk about some of those safeguards that you need to make sure you're following in a second. But the real benefit there is as you're watching that credit card statement every month, whether it's on paper or electronically, you're able to really monitor that account. And the credit card companies have really, gotten proficient at spotting fraud. Often they will see it before you do, but obviously you need to provide the check and balance in monitoring each of the transactions on there to make sure nothing appears that's not yours or that was put there fraudulently. The good news is with a credit card, you're not responsible for that. So as long as you report it on a timely basis, that will not be your responsibility. And you're not giving somebody access to your checking account where they're pulling money out of your checking account. You're initiating
okay.
that transaction on the credit card. And at any point, you could shut that down. You could dispute an inaccurate or fraudulent transaction.
All right.
And you have a lot of safeguards and control there. That's going to be the most safe. The only downside to that is just that it's going to be a little higher charge to the church than if you were to use an electronic transfer direct from your checking account. Oftentimes they'll pay a little bit less. And so obviously we want to get as much money going to the charity or in this case your church as possible. But from a safety standpoint, I think there is a benefit to using the credit card for the reasons that I mentioned. Beyond that, Diane, I think just in this digital age, now that we're all conducting more and more business online, especially given the coronavirus and some of the social distancing that we've had to put in place, I think we just need to be really careful role in monitoring our accounts to spot unusual transactions. We need to be monitoring our credit reports, which you can access those now weekly at no charge from annualcreditreport.com. And I'd feel very secure you pulling those credit reports. In fact, it's going to help you to stay on top of it. You don't need to do it weekly. I would say monthly at the most. Beyond that, just practicing some of the other best practices, like don't ever click on a link in an email. Make sure you're always initiating the contact online. Never give out personal information when somebody calls you, even if they claim to be, you know, from the government or from one of your financial institutions. You initiate those conversations. Don't ever conduct business on a public Wi-Fi. Do it in the privacy of your home, not in a coffee shop or something like that.
Yes.
You know, these are the kinds of things I think that really will allow you not to be 100% out of the woods, because none of us are. Anybody can be breached, but it's at least going to put you in a better position, that you're not going to be compromised as easily. And the good news is, if something does happen, there are all kinds of safeguards. And, because this has become so commonplace, that it shouldn't be terribly detrimental to you in terms of true identity theft. It just doesn't happen as often as you might think. Does that make sense, though?
I really appreciate it. Thank you so much. God bless you.
You're welcome, Diane, and thank you for your call today.
Yeah, thanks, Diane. We appreciate that very much. And remember, if you ever get a phone call from anyone at Social Security or the IRS, hang up. Neither of those two institutions ever, ever, ever call you on the phone, nor do they email you. They only send you a letter through the U.S. mail. So if you receive anything other than a letter from in the mail, you just want to hang up and ignore any other ways they may try to contact you. It's going on a lot these days. DeKalb, Illinois. Hello, Julie. What's your question?
Hi, my question is regarding alimony and Social Security.
Right.
I was married for over 30 years, almost 35, to a mouse in the cookie jar, and I basically am owed somewhere between 5 and 6 years of alimony. Mm. Every ruling in my favor never saw a month. Now, I just turned 62 2 months ago, and the Social Security woman that I spoke with on the phone, Veronica in Elgin, told me that if I get a judge to write a garnishment, that I will begin to receive his Social Security, because he's not yet 62, okay, and he receives disability anyway for that amount. Can you please answer me, and also, I'm empty pockets, inside out woman, after that, and I really need help financially, period.
Yes. Sure. Well, what I would say first and foremost is this is ultimately a legal question, and you could certainly seek legal counsel here. But I can tell you generally, the Social Security Administration, Julie, can withhold benefits to enforce someone's legal obligation to pay not only alimony, but restitution or child support. State laws determine a valid garnishment order, but once it's issued by law, the SSA does garnish current and continuing monthly benefits for that purpose. They don't make retroactive adjustments, but in this case, as you said, it would just be starting anyway, and they can, in fact, take those funds and enforce that order from the state. Now, the person having the wages garnished can't appeal to Social Security. They have to go through an attorney or a representative of the court that issued the order. But at the end of the day, it can absolutely happen. And I think what you're hearing is that it very well could, based on the fact that Social Security is going to be starting here soon. But anything related to your particular state or your particular situation, you'd have to direct to an attorney who could advise you legally. But I'm just telling you, in principle, what you're describing absolutely can happen and does fairly often.
Does that help a little bit, Julie?
For me. Absolutely. And if I could have the prayers of the listeners on 90.1, I have maintained my belief and high standards and heart to the Lord while the other has turned away from the entire family and grandchildren. So the prayers of the saints are appreciated for me to be assisted.
Thanks, Julie. We have to hit a hard break here, but we hear you. We'll ask our listeners to pray for you and trust that God will come and minister all your needs to you. Thank you very much. This is MoneyWise Live.
Many people adopt an attitude toward marriage and finances that it'll all work out somehow, but sadly, it often doesn't. Financial woes can devastate a marriage, but there is a better way. God's Way. Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton will help you discover God's approach to growing your finances, strengthening your relationship with your mate, and cultivating godly joy. Money and Marriage God's Way is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. You know, almost everyone is being overwhelmed today by the busyness of our lives. All the schedules and demands and responsibilities and family needs. It's hard to stay on top of everything, even important things. That's when you're out of control. It's so easy to major on minors, focusing on the noise rather than the significance of what you're doing. Trying to quell the furor around you while ignoring the furor within you. That won't stop as long as you stay focused on the things that have no eternal significance. Second only to your acceptance of Jesus as Lord, the only thing in your life that has eternal significance is the number of people who are on their way to heaven because of your influence. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone you're with today closer to Jesus. If you want to know how easy that is, go to ROTW.com.
Bum, bum, ba-dum, bum. Oh, g'day. I'm Bernie Diamond. You know, this morning I did something crazy. I was up at 4:30 again. Actually, I do it almost every morning. I'm that kind of guy. Bum, bum, ba-dum, bum. Bum, ba-dum, bum. People ask me, what do you do with that hour? What can possibly be better than bed? Fair question. Well, I always start my day with a cup of tea and a long chat with a friend. What, you mean someone else is up at that hour? Everyone's asleep. But God's awake. So we talk. I tell him what's on my heart, and he tells me what's on his. This morning, I knew I couldn't fit everything into my day, so I told him. And about 7:30, just by coincidence, mind you, an email arrived. One of my appointments had cancelled. And you know something? Ever since we've started our cuppa together every morning, my life's full of coincidences. But then again, bum, bum, ba-dum, bum, bum, ba-dum, bum, ba-dum, bum.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hope you're having a great afternoon. We are, primarily because we're hearing from you. It's kind of hard to do a call-in radio program if some of you don't call in, so we do appreciate it when you make the effort. Beverly Hills, Florida. Hello, Jan. What's on your mind?
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for the call. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
I received in the mail today a card, a debit card, a Visa debit card, and it says that it's the enclosed is your economic impact payment card. The prepaid debit card is being sent to you on behalf of the U.S. Department of Treasury in place of a paper check. So I really have a little question about this because I thought that it was only supposed to be money deposited into your account or a check. So I called up one bank and they said, oh, yeah, this is okay. And I called up my other bank who referred me to you. She gave me the... May 20th program that said you dealt with it, but I didn't really hear anything about the debit card. So we've been hit by fraud 11 times in the last 3 years, so I'm a little leery about doing anything with this.
Well, I can completely understand that, Jan, why you would be a little leery, and I'm delighted to hear that your bank referred you to MoneyWise Live. That's a first, and I'm delighted to hear that. Was it issued by chance by Meta Bank?
I'm sorry, my husband interrupted me. What?
No problem. Was the card issued by Metabank? M-E-T-A?
Yeah. Well, it says Money Network Cardholder Service, and then it says Meta, and that was the other question, because it says Meta Banks. Yeah.
Yes.
So there were two different things on there.
Yeah, well, that is legitimate. So the Treasury Department said that it would send debit cards loaded with stimulus payments to millions of Americans actually this week. The cards are issued by Metabank, and they're sent to people specifically who didn't provide, or where the IRS doesn't have the banking information and whose tax return was processed by a particular IRS center in Texas or Massachusetts. But the good news is you can use the card to withdraw cash from an ATM. You can transfer it to a bank account, issue a check, or even make a purchase wherever Visa is accepted. And the government is saying they're not tracking the purchases you make on the card. But that perfectly aligns with everything we're hearing about who will issue the cards and when they'll be arriving. And the fact that it's coming by way of debit card is directly in line with what the communication has been from the Treasury Department. So it sounds like what you have there is something that's very legitimate, and you can proceed.
Yeah. Somewhat surprising, because lots of people didn't hear about it in the beginning. But, Rob, would you get frequent flyer miles when you use that card?
No. No.
How about
no
a toaster?
No frequent flyer files.
Microwave.
No toasters. Okay. Not even a lollipop. Nope.
Jan, does that help you?
Well, thank you very, very much. I really appreciate it. And I know that you are a Christian station, and my sister's having open heart surgery tomorrow. So if you put a little prayer in for her, I would appreciate it.
Well, let's just pray for her right now. What is her name?
Bonnie.
Okay, Bonnie. Let's pray for Bonnie. And Steve, you want to voice that prayer?
I'm happy to do it, Lord. We don't know Bonnie, but you know her inside and out. You know her DNA. You designed her totally and completely, and you are the great physician. So on behalf of Bonnie and her physicians and her sister Jan and other relatives who love her and are praying for her, we lift her up to you now, and we pray that you would minister to her spirit, give her your peace and your healing. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jan. God bless
you. Thank
you,
sir. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, that's nice. I didn't know banks were giving out our information.
I didn't either, but I like it. That's all I'm going to say.
It's fantastic. All right, let's say hi to Beth. She's calling from somewhere right here in the state of Georgia.
Beth, we're so glad you called today. Did your bank refer you to us, or were you just listening?
Oh, I've been listening for a very long time, matter of fact.
Okay.
Before it was even Crown Ministries, it was Christian Financial Concepts.
Okay, so you go back to the Larry Burkett days. I'm delighted to hear that. That's great. Yeah. How can we help you today?
Yeah. Well, thank you for the opportunity to present my question. I have been laid off, and my company is going to extend my insurance, and it's a high-deductible insurance for 3 months. I have a health savings account that's not fully contributed to this year, and I was wondering if I can make the full contribution for a whole year, or if it has to be prorated. And then after the 3 months are expired, I'm not sure what to do after that. I will be offered COBRA, but that's generally too expensive. But we've got Obamacare and also the health sharing. And if I continue with health sharing, would I be able to contribute to my health savings account?
I see. Yeah. Well, first of all, I'm sorry to hear that you were laid off. You know, the good news about the HSA is it's portable. It's really one of the benefits there. So the money in your HSA, of course, remains yours after you separate from the company. You don't need to rush to the eye doctor or dentist to drain the account before your job is terminated. And you can usually keep that money in your former employer's HSA, or you can roll it to another HSA administrator. There are many of them, HSA Bank and many others. And that would be a non-taxable event, similar to an IRA rollover, Beth. Now, in order to put new contributions into the account beyond this window of time, you have to have a high-deductible health insurance policy in place, whether you continue your former employer's plan through COBRA or you purchase your own high-deductible health plan, HDHP. after you leave your job, which you can certainly do. But without that high deductible health plan in place, you will not be eligible to make any new contributions. Assuming it is in place, though, you'd be able to put in the full amount for this calendar year. And of course, any additional money that's or money that's already accrued would just remain in that HSA, whether it's with your current plan administrator or if it's in another account that you open. The amount of the maximum permissible HSA contribution in the year an individual attains age 65 is prorated, though, based on the number of months the individual is eligible and whether that you have a self-only or some other type of coverage. So in particular, the maximum permissible contribution is based on the number of months you're not enrolled in Medicare. So that would be the only kind of issue there. But it doesn't sound like, you know, that applies to you in your situation. So I think the key for you is just whether you not have whether or not you have that high deductible health plan in place. And so long as you do, then you could make new contributions up to the maximum allowable for the year.
Okay, Beth?
That sounds perfect. Thank you so much. And God bless you. I appreciate all that you do for us.
Oh, thank you. And God bless you. And thanks for listening for so long. We appreciate
it. Thank you, Beth. And I think we have time for Pam. She's calling from Mississippi. And what's your situation, Pam?
I was a Mississippi educator. I just retired this year at the age of 60. And I have got, with our school with the state retirement, I was able to have a 503B tax deferred account. And, so my question is I think I've got roughly $16,000 to $17,000 in that account. What do I do with that money? There will be no more, inputs into that account. What do I do with the money to keep it tax deferred? I do not need the money right now, and I'm blessed in that way. God has blessed us. And so that's the first question, is what do I do with that money?
Okay, sure. It's probably a 403B, Pam, and the best thing to do is roll it to an IRA. So that's not going to be a taxable event. So you'll go open an IRA somewhere, and it can be at one of the discount brokerages like Charles Schwab. You could open it at Vanguard, which is a mutual fund company. You could open it at your local bank. It's really up to you. It's a lot of that is going to be dependent upon the investment strategy, whether you're going to manage it or you're going to ask somebody else to manage it for you. Given that there's, you know, less than $50,000 in there, you probably are going to need to do it yourself with some high quality mutual funds. And I can give you some ideas on that. But the idea is you want to roll it out to that IRA, not taxable, and then it could be reinvested and grow. And as you said, you don't need the money, so you can just let it continue to work for you. And then when you need it down the road for any reason, you'd be able to take it out and you'd realize it as income as you pull it out down the road.
Right. Okay. And, when you're talking about an IRA, do I put it in a traditional IRA? Do I put it in a Roth IRA? I do not know the difference between those two, and I do not know anything about finances except credit is bad, and so I've got everything paid off except for my home mortgage, and I will have that paid off hopefully within the next 3 months. And so that was another question, was what do I do? And can you just tell me about where I would find a financial planner for this advice, what to do with the funds from our home mortgage that will be freed up, that we would use it wisely?
Very good. Well, there's obviously a number of questions there. But first of all, that principle that you said you did learn about dumping debt and being using credit wisely has served you well. I'm delighted to hear you're about to be debt free. I think as you roll this to an IRA, if it's which it probably is, if it's a traditional 403B, then you'll roll it to a traditional IRA. If it was a 403B Roth, then you'd roll it to the Roth IRA. So you'll just want to clarify that. It's probably traditional, and so you'll go to the traditional IRA, which just means taxes were not paid up front when the money went in. You actually got a deduction from your income taxes as you made contributions to the 403B, or you and your employer made contributions. And now that it's rolled over, It's a non-taxable event, and as you pull the money out, you're going to pay tax on it. If you were to take a traditional 403B and go to a Roth, then you would have to realize all of it as taxable income now, and of course, you don't want to do that. In terms of finding a financial advisor, and this is a great time to do that, I would go to moneywiselive.org and do a search there in Mississippi for a CKA who can give you whatever advice you need, financial planning or investments, and they can also advise you on the use of those excess funds you'll have.
And we're glad that you called today, Pam. God bless you. Thanks so much. MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day. Join us again tomorrow.